It's Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading at verse number 31. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." That's great. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We just pray you would help us this day to learn from it, to get spiritual perspective on the challenges we face today, and just pray you would help us in this, Lord, that you would increase our courage, help us to trust in you for protection and victory through our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we continue our series. We started beginning of this year on having or desiring to have 2020 spiritual vision, that we want in our lives to be able to see beyond the surface. We want to recognize what's going on behind the scenes. And as we've been looking at lately, we want to recognize that there are spiritual forces that are at work in this world. There are forces of evil led by the devil to deceive, to enslave, to destroy lives. But as well, there are forces of good, forces directed by God to bring light and salvation and freedom to mankind. The forces of evil in this world are great and powerful, but the forces of God, forces of good, are even greater. And knowing that, that should prompt us to engage life and respond in positive, powerful ways to the challenges that we face. We started considering this last week of how that we understand that even though there is great darkness in this world, that God has provided his guiding lights to help us find our way. God's word, of course, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And of course, God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. And as we follow after him, we don't walk in darkness, but instead we have the light of life. And so we need to recognize our need for these guiding lights God has provided, and we need to be daily seeking them out so that we can walk in the light. But today we want to consider another response that should be fueled by spiritual vision, and that is for us to have courage and boldness in our lives. If we lack spiritual vision, if we don't look upon our world through the eyes of faith, the odds do not at all seem to be in our favor as God's people. In Western society in particular, we as believers and followers of Christ are increasingly in the minority, and we're increasingly being treated with contempt rather than respect. We see the direction this world is headed, and we know that God and his word has always has the answers that our society needs, but more and more we see that many are not interested in what the Bible has to say, and if we want to share it, we're told to keep silent. We're not at a point yet in our society that the Bible is a banned book, or that we would be imprisoned if we got caught trying to share it with other people, but there are plenty of voices that would wish to shut us down and shut us out of any debate. And so with the pressure of resistance against God and his word and his people on the increase, it can be easy for us to get intimidated, to step back, to self-censor, and to disengage from our society as a whole. We don't want to deal with all the headaches that come from dealing with the negative overreactions of those that are openly hostile to our faith. So we it can start thinking that it's easier to just keep our faith to ourselves, to only share it with people that seem open and interested. We don't want to offend anyone, so we stay silent when we should speak up. And we go entirely off of offense and spend our time playing defense. We can give up trying to reach the world, instead try to focus on protecting ourselves and our children from the evil influences that are in this world. We convince ourselves it's better to be cautious, to not rock the boat, to only share our faith if requested to do so, and more or less to mind our own business. Such a response seems prudent, reasoned, and logical, based on the situation we currently find ourselves in. But the truth is that when we have 20/20 spiritual vision, when we see things through the eyes of faith, and we see things as they truly are, everything changes. And that's really what Paul is speaking of here in Romans chapter 8. In the context of this passage, he's dealing with a lot in Romans chapter 8. He's talking about, at the beginning, of fighting and how to have victory over our own carnality. He's telling us as well of how to find victory and perseverance through suffering by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And as well, we see that he's, in verse 28, it's that thought that we want to learn in our lives to acknowledge that everything that comes into our life, whether it's wanted or unwanted, all of it works together for good. It has a purpose, and the main purpose of all these things is to help transform us so that we can become more like Christ, so that we walk as he walked, that we respond the way he responded. And, of course, the circumstances we can face, they can seem to us to be very frustrating, to be very overwhelming. But we see what he says there in verse 31. He says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us?" Or who can be against us? That it's the thought that if God is fighting on our behalf, we recognize we are by no means outmanned and outgunned. That we are not just a part of an ever-dwindling minority. The odds are not against us. If God is with us, if God is for us, then the odds are in our favor. We see the next verse of how he says that he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That it's a thought that if we are in need of resources in whatever battle or challenge that we face in life, that we don't have to think that we have no ability, that we just have to give up, that we can pray to God, that we know, okay, he gave his son for us, he freely gave him to us to provide us to fulfill our greatest need. And so we know if he was willing to do that for our greatest need, shall he not all the more when we're in trouble and we have a need and we ask him, that he will provide us whatever it is that we need. We see as well how it talks about, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's a thought, that we don't need to fear the accusations and condemnation of anybody around us, because we are justified by God himself. And that cannot be rescinded or overruled by anyone on this earth. That it says, who is he that condemneth? It really, the only one that would have the power to condemn us would be Christ, who died for us, who is now risen again and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, not to condemn us, but actually to defend us. That we recognize that he serves as our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, that he intercedes in our behalf, that he is praying for us, and seeing that we have the help that we need. And so, as well, we see that we can go through terrible trials and afflictions, as it talks about there, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. But none of those things have the power to separate us from God's love. Nothing can do that. Nothing ever will do that. And so in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so what does that all mean as taken together? Well, it means that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear of man or fear of the devil or of any other thing. And it means that we should not allow anyone or anything to intimidate us in the silence and self-censorship. We recognize that as the people of God that we're sent by God's authority, that He has commissioned us to reach out to the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. He promises to be with us even to the end of the world. He has promised that His power would be upon us to be His witnesses. And so we have a message that we know the world needs to hear. And many in the world don't want to hear it right now. But they need to. It is life to them. It will save their life. It can turn the course of a nation around, turn the course of a life around. And so they need to hear it, and so we need to speak up. And we see in this passage that it gives us a call to courage. It gives us a call to be bold. And by faith, we need to answer that call. Now, of course, I am not saying that as Christians that we're to be rude. As it declares in 1 Corinthians 10:32, we are to give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the Church of God. We're to give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. As believers, we should always conduct ourselves with integrity, with honor, with respect. But we have to acknowledge that for many, the truth hurts. It is going to offend them. But the problem is not with the Word of God. It's that the person has their own issue that God's trying to reveal to them to help them. That God's Word is as a light, and it shines a light into the darkness of our hearts. And sometimes we don't like what it reveals. But it just kind of is a doctor giving a diagnosis where he says, okay, you have this disease, and I have the cure for you. And we don't like to hear that we're sick, but it's good to know that we have something to fix it. And that's what he's trying to do for us. But a lot of times, a person, rather than wanting to deal with their own issues, they would much rather just silence the truth, extinguish the light. And it's someone's kind of said is that sometimes when the truth rubs us the wrong way, it's because we're going in the wrong direction. And so if we turn around and change our ways, then it'll actually we'll find that it's good for us. And so we realize that the truth that we share with people, it's going to give them light, it's going to give them life, it's going to give them hope, it's going to provide the way of salvation for them. And really, the truth of the gospel is the only hope any of us have for salvation. And so we need to speak the truth. We need to speak it, the truth in love. That's very important. But we need to do so not being afraid of the reaction we might receive. Because I think with all of us that have come to Christ as Savior, the first time that we heard it, we maybe didn't receive it very well. And we can be thankful that people persisted with us and didn't give up. And we're willing to continue to share it until we recognized it for what it was and accepted it as our way of salvation. As well as believers, that we're not to be rude, but we're not to be foolhardy either. In our lives, we should be guided by God. We should not take unnecessary risks. But we do want to understand that as God guides us, there are going to be times that He is going to guide us, and we're going to end up walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There are times where He is guiding us that we're going to find ourselves in the midst of some terrible storms. But in the midst of it all, we don't need to be afraid of any evil because God is with us. We read in Psalm 27, verse 1 to 3, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And that's the thing, when we know that the Lord is with us, there's no need for fear. That we can have enemies come against us, and God himself can bring them to confusion. That we don't have to be afraid. We think as well of what it talks about in Psalm chapter 91. Psalm 91, verses 9 to 13, it says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, thou shalt trample under feet." That it's the thing, that when we put our trust in the Lord, we not need to be afraid of any evil, any plague, or any foe. That he sends his angels to protect us. And that when we face opposition, that he promises us victory. That we can indeed be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And in the Bible, we see various examples of individuals who had this spiritual vision, who looked at what seemed to be impossible odds through the eyes of faith, and as a result took courage and stepped forward in boldness and experienced great victory as a result. We think of Joshua, who was called by God to lead his people into the promised land, to possess the land that God had promised them. That again and again he would be facing forces which greatly outnumbered them. But we see from the beginning that God challenged him in Joshua 1 verse 9. He said, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so by faith, over and over again, he went into battle, and by God's power, they were victorious. Probably one of the greatest victories that we see in Joshua's life was in Joshua chapter 10, where he had all these kings of the south gathered against them to battle. And the Lord says in Joshua 10 verse 8, "Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." And so they went up against them, and they were ready to fight. But we find what it says in verse 10, it says, "The Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. It came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah and they died. And there were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword." And we see as well in this passage that where he the sun's going down and Joshua prays, "Lord, keep the sun up so that we can continue in our victory." And we see, miraculously, God made the sun to stand still until they were able to continue on and have full victory. And it says that there is no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And so they were able to defeat this great host. They were able to capture these kings. And his soldiers were able to put their feet on the necks of these kings. And he said to them, verse 25, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." And so we see that he had boldness, that he was strong and of a good courage. He trusted the Lord, and the Lord gave him the victory. We think of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, of how the Philistines set the battle in array against the Israelites, and they had this champion, this giant warrior named Goliath, that defied them, that challenged someone to come from Israel's side to meet him on man-to-man combat, and everyone in the Israelite camp was afraid, but David came as a young lad and heard his boasts, heard his challenge, and he says, "Okay, I'm willing to fight him." And everyone thought he was crazy, They're trying to say, okay, well, how can you even do that? But he had had times when he was young that the Lord had given him deliverance, when he was looking after his father's sheep, being able to kill a bear and a lion. And so he had the confidence that the Lord could give him the victory in this situation. And so he comes before Goliath. He doesn't have all this armor on. He just has a stones in his bag and a sling and his staff. And Goliath laughs at him and mocks him. But we see the words of David in 1 Samuel 17:45 when he says, "Then said David to the Philistines, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And so he quickly entered into battle. The Philistine drew nigh to meet David, but we see David not running away, but running towards the Philistine. And he takes out a stone, and he slings it and hits the giant right in the forehead, and he falls down, and David was able to get victory over him, and then all the armies of the Philistines fled, and they were able to defeat them once again. And so we see that even though he was in great danger, he emerged victorious and unscathed, that the enemy had no power, and God brought great victory. We think as well of Hezekiah later on in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, where he was king over Jerusalem, and what happened was the great army of the Assyrians came and besieged Jerusalem, and they had already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and conquered many other nations and were threatening them and trying to discourage them. But we see that Hezekiah prepared the defense of his city, and we see his words in verse 6 to 8 of 2 Chronicles 32. He says, "And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And so we see that they threatened their nation. They promised that they would destroy them. But Hezekiah went before the Lord and prayed. We see that verse 20. "For this cause Hezekiah the king, the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And he was come to the house of his God. They that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword." And so we see this great and mighty king with this great and mighty army, that just in one night that the Lord sent an angel to decimate his army. He had to return, and he never came back again. And so we see that these men had faith. They saw God was with them, and they were willing to trust him, and they had courage, and God brought great victory. But we see this not just in the Old Testament, we see it as well in the New Testament. We think of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, that they had been sharing the truth of Jesus, and the scribes and the Pharisees didn't like to hear what they had to say, and so they were brought before the very same council that just a few months before had condemned Jesus to death. But yet they were not afraid. They declared the gospel to them all, that they said that there's none other name under heaven given among men other than Jesus, whereby we must be saved. And so we see that they had this boldness, and it was recognized by those on the council. They were marveled that they had such boldness. But we see they threatened them. They command him, "Don't. We don't want you to ever speak in the name of Jesus anymore." And so, in the face of such threats, they didn't step back, they didn't reconsider, they didn't self-censor themselves. What do we find them doing? That they gathered all their other disciples and followers of Christ together, and they had a prayer meeting. And they said, "Lord, you've heard what they say, and we just give this over to you." We see in verse 29, or rather, no, verse... verse 29 says, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." And so we see in verse 31 that when they had prayed, the place was shaken together where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And so we see that they had boldness to speak, and they continued, and it seemed that they could not be silenced no matter what happened. That we find in the next couple chapters, chapter 6, they are once again brought before the council. They are denounced. They are physically assaulted and threatened again. Don't ever speak in the name of Jesus. But we find in verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they are counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That these men of faith, they weren't being stubborn and difficult. They recognized that they had to obey God rather than man. And so they had the courage given them by God to speak the truth boldly, that they weren't ashamed. And they knew God was with them all the way, no matter what they went through, and that God would see them through any trial they faced. And their faith really still serves as an inspiration and a challenge to all of us today. That we want to recognize that we don't need to be afraid of men. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And the truth is, the devil wants to continue to convince us that the odds are all against us, that we're vastly outnumbered, that there's no hope of victory, that if we speak out, the storm that will come as a result will be too overwhelming. It's easier just to keep quiet. But we really want to understand the truth is entirely the opposite. He's trying to tell us this because he knows if we really see things as we are, we'll know that he is not the one with the advantage. God is with us. And if God is before us, who can be against us? That we don't have to think that we don't have the resources, that we can trust that he'll give us all we need. That we don't have to worry about condemnation and accusation. That we can keep our, commit ourselves to him that judges righteously. That we know that no matter what might be said of us, that God will vindicate us in the end. We want to understand that victory is not only possible, but it is assured to us. That we think of what it says in 1 John 4 verse 4, where it says, "Ye of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." There is more that be with us than be with them. And so God is with us. We don't have to be afraid. Because God is with us, we can have courage and boldness. And so let us this day see this world through the eyes of faith. Let us answer the call to courage that we find here in Romans chapter 8. Let us as God's people find our voices again, and let us speak the truth our generation needs to hear. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you are with us through any trial, that we don't have to be afraid. We just pray you would increase our courage. Help us to recognize that you're on our side, that we don't have to fear any foe. Just enable us, Lord, to be faithful and just be our guide and our guard through each day as we seek to be used of you to reach people with your gospel. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.